Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Well, today is at least the day we're observing, Pentecost Sunday. And as I already said a moment ago, I really didn't want to miss the opportunity to just focus on this particular day and the importance of it in the history of the church. And so we pause and we reflect on the beginnings of the church, because you know what's unique about Pentecost Sunday, about the whole idea, you know, kind of what we see and what we know, is that no matter the denomination, no matter the theological difference, no matter the style of worship or anything like that, Pentecost is the one thing that we all have in unity together. You see, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, is the birthday of the church. Happy birthday. Yeah. It's the day that the Holy Spirit fell upon His people, baptizing them with fire. And this is what we read. And now I'm going to tell you that this is different than water baptism. That's not what was taking place in Acts chapter 2, which in the Old Testament, water baptism only just purified the outside. But this was a baptism that was meant for the inside. That was meant for the inside. It is a baptism that leaves an imprint on one's heart that is to be seen by someone else's eyes. And we believe that He did it then and that He still does it today. And so in the church, you know how I am, I like to make sure we all know this stuff, but in the church we have a special name for when this happens. When the Spirit falls down on someone, when He still, like Acts chapter 2, comes to be on His people. In the church, we give it a fancy, but we call it the second blessing. Maybe you've heard this term before. The first blessing is the blessing of salvation that's found at the cross. And the second is when the Holy Spirit baptizes you. The second blessing. And so there is no church, friends, as we know it today, without the second blessing, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we give thanks to You on this Sunday morning, on a day that we are intentionally, Father, focusing on Your Holy Spirit. Lord, Your Spirit has already been hovering over us. Lord, we can feel Him in the presence of our worship. And Father, You have heard our prayers and our cry when Renee was standing here and saying, "Do it again, Lord." Lord, we don't recognize Pentecost Sunday as a day on the calendar, but as a living, breathing Spirit who is still moving among His people today. So, Lord, as we dive into Your Word, Father, give me the clarity, the interpretation, and the understanding that is true to Your gospel. And that, Lord, may all of us open our ears when Your Word is being read. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've ever studied Acts chapter 2, right, so I'm going to tell you now, Acts is one of my favorite books in the Bible. There's something about, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the Gospels. There is no Acts without that first. But when we get to the book of Acts, there's something about this guy named Paul that I just kind of, and that's not because we have the same name. Right? I heard all the jokes when I was a kid. We're going to have Paul read from Paul. All right, I've heard it, you know. So not because of that, but because this guy, he captured something and he just couldn't stop. He saw something, he experienced something, he witnessed something that just said, you know what? I don't care what persecution there is. I don't care what's in front of me. I don't care what that is. There is nothing that can stop me from pursuing this. And we can see in the book of Acts, we can just see him chasing it. I mean, this guy is behind bars. He's locked up behind bars. And he's over just singing spiritual hymns. He's just in there just singing. And in fact, there's times in Scripture where he's been set free. And he's not even rushing out. He's like, well, that's not freedom. Leaving the bars isn't freedom. No, but if I'm in here, I'm still free. I mean, there's something about that guy. And so I've really been leaning into Acts, and I have for a long time, but there is something about Acts 2, Acts chapter 2, that really kind of puts it into perspective. And so if you've read it, if you know what I'm referring to, or if you're familiar with the Pentecost story, I mean, I guarantee you probably already had an image pop up in your head. Like right as soon as we say, oh, the day of Pentecost or Pentecost, like there's probably something that's like an image that popped up in there and you're like, oh, I know what he's talking about. And you could probably, and actually if I had to guess, it probably looked something like this, right? Kind of something similar around the ballpark in that, right? You're looking at that. Now, to those of us who know the Scripture, right? We know Acts chapter 2. We know the story. We know where we grew up in it, right? We see that. And we immediately know what's going on. We know what's going on. However, if you are new to this story, or maybe new to the church or to your faith or to Scripture, and you're not really too sure what is this guy kind of talking about, you're probably looking at that and you're saying, why is everybody on fire? And why does nobody seem to be upset about it? You know, they're all just kind of sitting around like having a conversation. Their heads are on fire. And this isn't normal. Well, today, we, the church, refer to Pentecost. When we talk about Pentecost, we usually refer to it as a single event in church history. We kind of say, oh, yeah, the day of Pentecost, or Pentecost, like, and this is kind of the moment that we have. But it actually is a Jewish festival. It's a Jewish festival that dates back to Moses. It goes back a way. And it always takes place 50 days after Passover. So it's always, that's kind of the extension. You have the Passover, you have 50 days, and then it's the Pentecost, and it's been that way for generations. And so it is no accident at all that the crucifixion took place at the Passover. And so after the resurrection, right, so after Easter Sunday, when we gather to celebrate that, after the resurrection, Jesus spent time with the disciples, and here's the thing, for about 40 days. Now, usually, kind of maybe sometimes when we think about the resurrection or we kind of get Jesus coming out of the tomb, we think maybe, okay, he came out, and then he spent a few days, you know, kind of shaking some feathers a little bit. I'm back, you know, and surprise. And, you know, kind of doing this sort of thing. And then he just ascended into heaven. So maybe 2 or 3 days tops, and then he ascended back into heaven. But in fact, he was actually here with the disciples and among us. He was still preaching, and he was still teaching for several weeks after he rose from the dead. Several weeks. He was still around. In fact, Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians that on one particular occasion, Jesus preached to a crowd of 500 people after his resurrection. I mean, by the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, the number of people who saw him made it undeniable that he did indeed rise from the dead. There's no question. This guy is alive. He was preaching. He was teaching. This is why we're still talking about it today. It's undeniable. There's too many people have seen it. And so, as you can imagine, that when it was time for Jesus to return to the Father, the disciples were all of a sudden at a loss. And they've been with this guy. He's kind of been their North Star. Kind of follow me. I'll help you. I'll teach you. I'll educate you. I'll empower you. And he just kind of said, and so when he says it's time for me to return to the Father, they were kind of, well, what do we do now? I mean, what happens now? We've kind of just been following you. Where do we go? I mean, do we now start telling everyone? Is that what we're supposed to do? And Jesus just tells them, he just says, stay here. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised you. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus just ascended into heaven. I mean, just imagine receiving that news. What Holy Spirit? What baptism? I don't want to be on fire. I mean, what are we talking about here? And then to leave it open-ended. Just don't leave. Just hang around. Well, wait a minute. I've been following. You didn't hang around. We've followed you everywhere. But just hang around. Okay. And so Acts 2 is where the story picks up. And what we find is when we read Acts 2 is that the disciples are doing exactly what they were told to do. I mean, they were just hanging around. They're just sitting about in a room. What are we supposed to be doing? I can imagine them saying, Peter, what are we doing? I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. All I know is that they're really mad out there, and we're in the center of it all. I mean, we got to just kind of hang out and kind of hide. And there they are in this upper room. And so at this point, 10 days have gone by. And they haven't left Jerusalem, like they said, and they were waiting for whatever gift was supposed to be coming. And then the scripture says that it was on Pentecost Day when the entire nation of Israel was gathered, when all of the tribes and all of the dialects, when all of the people were all coming to Jerusalem, they were coming in. It was on this particular day that God kept his promise. The Holy Spirit, the gift, fell down from heaven on to the disciples. I mean, it was unannounced almost. He came into that space like a violent windstorm, just shaking the windows. I mean, what is happening? And then the room started to shake. The wind was picking up. And then the Spirit fell on them in a physical form by looking like tongues that were on fire above their heads. This is weird. I mean, holy cow. I mean, I have never been in a room where we're just sitting around and a wind comes in, the room starts to shake, and then my head's on fire. You know, I just had, at least not intentionally. If those things happened in order, something happened. And so, I mean, I could even imagine. And about 10 years ago or so, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Jerusalem. I mean, I actually got to go into the upper room. And actually walk into the space where I remember the tour guide was saying, well, it was in this room that the Spirit fell on the disciples. And that was, I will tell you the truth, it was the closest I have ever felt to this particular moment in our church history. It was the day where Pentecost started upon the church. And so instantly, the scripture says that each of them started to speak in other tongues. This is crazy. And so the Spirit comes down, falls upon them. You got tongues of fire above their head. And then when they start to speak, when they start talking, they're speaking in languages that they don't know. They're not speaking their language, their dialect. They're speaking something else. And it's just coming out. It's just happening. It says they speak in other tongues. Now this, my friends, I need to be clear, is not to be confused with speaking in tongues. That's different. Now speaking in tongues. See, when the church says speaking in tongues, when we say that, it is referring to the unknown language of heaven, and it is heard as gibberish to our ears on earth. This is speaking in tongues. And I'm going to tell you that particular language, the one speaking in tongues, which is real, my friends, as scripturally says, it is true. That this is a language from heaven that comes down, but the scripture also says that it has very strict biblical guidelines to verify its authenticity. So we just can't come in and just start saying stuff. And then it's like, oh, that guy's connected to the Lord. No, How do we know? It's gibberish. And so the scripture actually is that tells us when this happens, here are the things that follow to verify it's true. And I will tell you, friends, in my lifetime, I have been in that situation one time. Not for me to speak the language. I did not speak in tongues. But I was present when it was happening, and I had never seen it happen in a way that was true to the scripture than in that moment. For I was in a different country. I didn't even speak the local language. I didn't speak it. And someone, we were in church, we were worshiping. And there was someone that was with us who was not from that country, was from an African nation, and was praising and worshiping. And then next thing you know, he started speaking some language. I thought it was Ethiopian. I'm just going to tell you the truth because that's where he was from. So I thought that's what he was saying. But once he got done, he fell to the ground. And then we said, are you okay? Are you okay? He says, I have no idea what I just said. But then the wildest thing is afterwards, he came out into the lobby. And then there was we were in Mexico, is the country we were in. There was a Mexican major, a mayora, that was on the other side of the sanctuary who doesn't speak English, who came out to the lobby and says, I know what he said. What? And what it was is that we were there with my session. We were cadets. We were in training. And we were there. And what that was, the Lord was a message to our session from this mayora to an Ethiopian who then was translated to English, and it was a direct response to a prayer we had last night as a session, and it was the answer. And we shared it back with the session. Whoa. That's something. Now, what it is, when we speak in tongue, when this, I'm not saying we flaunt that or we make a show out of it. Mm-mm. I think God uses it when it's appropriate. When it's appropriate. But what we see in Acts chapter 2 is not that. That's not what they're referring to. When they say that the disciples spoke in tongues, what he's saying is that they actually spoke known languages. So instantly, basically the Holy Spirit did all the work that Rosetta Stone would do for us. You know, we had to take weeks and months to learn a new language if we're lucky. But the Spirit says, I am the Rosetta Stone. And he just put it on their lips and he could just speak. And this is what it's referring to. And so Acts 2 is when the disciples could speak these languages. They were given the ability to speak known languages instantly, and the words that were coming out of their mouths were not gibberish, but known languages, so that the gospel, the good news, could be shared to the world who happened to be visiting Jerusalem that day. And what we see from history is that what took place on Acts 2 happened. From that moment, the gospel has spread from one end of the globe to the other end. Now, you know, as I was going back over this particular story for today, and I was looking into Acts, you know, chapter 2, and I was looking at the Spirit of falling down, and I was refreshing my study and my time, I started to reflect on this idea of the Spirit falling down. Like that kind of, I leaned in a little bit on that. I saw Spirit falling down. And the idea of being filled with the Spirit started to captivate me. I spent a lot of time on it. I started like kind of being filled with the Spirit falling down, Spirit being filled with the Spirit. And so I started to get curious. And then sometimes when I get curious, that's good. Sometimes it's not. And then we kind of go through, you know, where am I going to go? But I got curious, and I was wondering if this had happened before. Had this kind of falling of the Spirit happened? And what we find in Scripture is that this Acts chapter 2 is not the first time that he did something like this. It's not the first time. Now, of course, after Acts chapter 2, after the Pentecost, right? So when this happened, there are several times when a group of people were filled with the Spirit, several in Acts alone, more in the epistles, that the Spirit came and filled and did something good. But what's interesting is that he did do it in the Old Testament as well. The Spirit of God in the Old Testament did it. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit, when we think of that, we usually think New Testament, disciples, Acts, Pentecost, that's kind of what we think. But there are a few recorded occasions in the Scripture, in the Old Testament, where the Spirit fell down. And perhaps one of them, and the most clear instance, I think, could be found in Genesis 11. It's only a few verses. It's not very long. We don't even really spend a lot of time preaching and teaching on it very often. But here, we really don't have much of it, but it's right there. It's written down. And it was during the construction of the Tower of Babel. You see, the Scripture says that in the early days, on that side of world history, in the early days, there was only one language in the entire world. There was just one language. Wouldn't that be nice? There's just one language in the entire world. Everyone spoke the same language, and communication was easy. I mean, it didn't matter if we were from the same area. I just spoke the same language. I mean, there are days I don't know what Nick is saying. You know, his accent is so thick, you know? Goodness gracious. But it would be nice to just say hi, and we know what each other is saying. You know, humanity, what we see in this scripture is that humanity was unified regardless of what region you were from. We were unified under this one thing where we all speak the same. And then what we read is that humanity, at this point in time in Genesis 11, that humanity has once again decides to use this unity to prove that we are more mighty than God. We are more mighty. And so like the garden, when power was dangled before Adam and Eve, humanity continued our quest for power by trying to build a tower that reached the heavens so that we could have a name as great as God's. You see, that was the motivation. We can build something as great as you. You built the earth in 7 days, watch this. And we can do this. We can build a platform to you. And it was the motivation was to be equal to God, to build a name for ourselves. And when God saw this, according to the scripture, instead of sending a flood again, right, because he's a God that keeps his promises, he decides that he is going to end their quest by confusing their language. It's an interesting approach. You just won't be able to talk to each other anymore in the same way. And so not everyone is going to speak the same language anymore. And so what the scripture says is that he sent his Spirit down upon them. That the Spirit came upon them and he confused their language. I mean, they couldn't communicate anymore. Productivity stopped and the project ended. And they eventually, according to the scripture, divided themselves by language. Do you speak my language? Yeah, okay, come hang out with me. How about you? Nope, you're over there. You know, they kind of divided themselves up, and it says that they scattered among the earth. It's only 11 verses, this whole story. And just scattered among the whole thing. Well, what's the point of all of this? What's the point, Captain? Well, I think it's a simple one, and it's this. Is that language belongs to God. Language is powerful. You see, how we use it matters. What we say matters. How we communicate, what we do, these things, these are important. You see, the way that we communicate, the way that we speak, the way our language, the way that we, you know, with each other, this can be used to praise, to worship, to build up, and to encourage, to bless someone, to pray, to be there as someone's mourning, to be present. We could use our language, and that could be literally a representation of the hands and feet of Christ. But it can also be used to hurt, to tear down, to gossip, to curse even, and to lie. We can use these languages like this. You see, the Tower of Babel showed us what happens when men unify without the Spirit. Pride, selfishness, oneness, usness. And Pentecost is what happens when we unify in the Spirit. Humility, compassion, oneness. Pentecost is the reversal of Babel. The separation of language that was put into place at Babel was removed when the Spirit fell upon the disciples. Where sin once scattered and separated, grace unified into one. Friends, I believe that the church is God's response to the tower. Without the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, the church will always resemble the tower. Without the Spirit, our churches would only be places where men gather to make a name for themselves. A place or a platform to build a tower of self-accomplishments, self-results, self-recognition. It is true that these churches can look appealing from the outside, impressive by the world's standards. You can even leave those places feeling self-helped and empowered. But these feelings always reside when you leave the environment it came from, making you dependent on the place to get it again. But when a church is built in the Spirit, when a church meets in the Spirit, prays in the Spirit, worships in the Spirit, its identity isn't built on who is standing on the platform. Its accomplishments don't point to them, but to the kingdom. Results are souls and not numbers. And recognition doesn't go to the name on the building, but to the one who hung on the cross. When the Spirit falls on you, it doesn't go away when you leave here, but stays with you when you are on the mountaintops and when you are in your deepest valleys. This is because the Spirit isn't a false feeling of hope, a self-help advocate, a best-selling author, or an Instagram influencer. He was there when the earth was formed, when life was breathed into Adam, when the tower was being built, at the very first Passover in Egypt, when Moses split the Red Sea, when Joshua, upon him, when he took leadership of the nation, he empowered the judges for service. He departed Saul and anointed David, fell upon the prophets of Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Joel, was present when Jesus was baptized, fell upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and yes, he is in this room now, ready to fall upon us again. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. This is who we have, my friends. This is Pentecost. And are you ready to receive him today? Are you ready to receive the Holy Spirit? You see, we usually come to the altar, or we come and bring him our concerns and our needs. And we should, because the Scripture says that he wants us to. He wants those things. He wants us to come and bring our burdens to Him. But friends, I stand here today with a different challenge. That on this day, perhaps we could approach the Holy One with a different request. Not a physical one, but a spiritual one. Approach Him with the bold words, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. I'm not here to receive anything else from you, Lord, today, but just your Spirit. Just your Spirit. Lord, my eyes have been blinded and I need your eyes to see again. Lord, I am drowning in all of my earthly troubles. I know I want to be like Paul, standing in the prison cell, still feeling free. Lord, your Spirit fall afresh on me. Dare I dare challenge you to actually come and pray for the second blessing, for the Spirit to fall on us. And so we're going to sing this chorus. And you can do this here. You can do it there. I don't care. But I want you to approach Him in the altar of your hearts and say, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Let's sing this together. But don't leave today without boldly approaching Him. Father, have your Spirit fall on me. Your Spirit, Lord, afresh. Mold me. Fill me. Church, if we're going to actually make any difference in this world, it first has to start in us, within our own spirit. If we are constantly fighting the Lord's direction, the Lord's will, the Lord's just, you know, his holiness, his desires are, if we're at odds with that, listen, the church has no chance. There's no chance. Because the church is strong because of the Spirit falling upon its people. And so we come together, we in the church, we gather because we pray for His holiness. We pray for His salvation. We pray for these things, redemption constantly over us. But friends, let me tell you, is that there is a life beyond just salvation. There is more. We don't just come and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm just going to keep coming for salvation all the time. No, He's saying, no. Will you allow, let my Spirit, I want to put my Spirit in you. And when He is, you'll receive the second blessing. And at that point, He says, the Spirit burns with fire those desires. Are we going to be perfect? No. But you see, when we make the mistake, when we fall into the sin, when the enemy comes to attack, we then approach it differently. Not with shame and guilt, but standing there saying, Satan, go away from me, for I am following the true God. And so this morning, we're going to sing this chorus again. But church, if we want Pentecost to happen again, if we want the Spirit to fall on us again, then we have to mean it. We have to pray for it. We have to be open to it. And here's the hardest part. When he does, we have to be okay with not doing it like that anymore. That's hard. I kind of like doing it like that. But the Spirit's like, I want you to do it like this. So let's sing this chorus together. So, Father, this is our prayer. Is that, Lord, we want to stand as a church, as a place that isn't building platforms or recognitions or anything like that. But, Father, that is a place where we can see the kingdom expand. Souls engaging with you. Father, a place where we can be in the presence and we can be in the refining fire of our own hearts. Father, a place where direction and clarity can be given in a world that's filled with chaos. Father, a place where your Spirit is supreme. That, Lord, all of our selfish ambitions are put to death. And so, Father, I pray that this church, this vision, this strategic plan, all this stuff that's happening right now, Father, we pray that we only chase after you. And out of this, Lord, we pray for a renewing of your Spirit on us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.